But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of FPL 360. Before we get started, Chuck and I have some breaking news, which kind of caught us both off guard, but have no fear. We are here to help you through what is going to be a weird game week for Taga. So, draft leagues with playoffs enabled will not be participating in the double game week. This means if a player is involved in the first match of their double game week, they'll be awarded the points from that game, regardless of whether they play in the second one. However, if a player does not play in the first match but plays in the second, they'll be awarded points from the second game. So I guess with that news in hand, Chuck, how does that change your approach, seeing as you and I are both in the semifinals, not facing each other, but in one of our 12-team leagues?
I would like to say it would have been nice to know this before waivers, because my team is chock full of double game weekers that I don't really have as much confidence in with this scoring, with the way the scoring's going to be working. Because now, someone who might be a rotation risk but could come off the bench in the first game but would also play in the second game is basically someone that you shouldn't play because you'll be stuck with that 1 point from the first game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this, well, it does affect some of the fringe guys that we would have been looking at to pick up just to get the 2 matches worth of points. I mean, I guess this puts into question, what are you doing with your premium players who may be rested? For example, the likes of like a Sterling on Man City or maybe like Pogba with United.
I mean, obviously, I'm still holding them. And they're players that I'm confident enough in doing things off the bench that even if they don't necessarily start, unless I have a much better option out there, I'm still probably playing them. And I say this as a Leroy Sané owner.
Yeah, I have the 2 guys I was looking at, obviously, is Dele Alli and Pogba, who are both in my lineup. Now, I'm going to ride with them because I'm assuming that they're going to start at least one of those matches and then just pray to God that Pochettino and Mourinho don't just not start them in the first one and bring them on as late subs.
Yeah, no, that's definitely about the same lines of what I'm doing.
But yeah, I mean, with the potential returns you'd be getting from those guys, and those in particular with United at Brighton and Tottenham playing at West Brom, I think it's worth taking a little bit of a gamble, I guess, if you have coverage from the rest of your squad. Is there any premium players that I guess you would be willing to maybe sit? I mean, it's you don't have to worry about Lukaku with Rashford.
I mean, the biggest guy to worry about is probably Marcos Alonso.
Yeah, just because Emerson's going to get that first start, and then you would assume he would start in that second match, but that's not assured with the flip-flopping that Antonio Conte's done.
And also only that second match is the appealing match.
Yeah, another guy to consider, I mean, that's taking something where it's like I had Victor Moses penciled in to my starting 11, but I'm probably going to sit him and then favor Leighton Baines.
I mean,
just because I was expecting Moses' production to be backloaded.
Also, due to injuries, still pretty comfortable playing Danilo because I don't see any way that he doesn't play both games, considering all of the injuries to the City back line.
Yeah, and for those of you who have noticed that my column was up this afternoon over at RotoWorld, Sean Supersubs, after we record tonight, we're recording at around 8:30 on Thursday night. I'm going to take a quick pop over there and do some updates and let you guys just kind of recap what the plan is
for
Taga.
Basically, if you can't tell, this was a bombshell to us all.
With that said, I guess we're going to start looking at the matches for this week, having set up kind of a comprehensive look at the double game week fixtures pertaining to OFPL and to Taga leagues without the playoffs enabled. We're going to just roll with that. And then at the end, we have a couple questions where we'll go a little bit deeper about the playoff dilemma. The first club we're going to talk about in the double game week is Arsenal. The Gunners are back on the OFPL table after being knocked out of the Champions League by Atletico Madrid. they're home against Burnley and away at Leicester City in the second match. Who do you like the most here? I mean, with Lukaku being out, is Aubameyang like the forward to pivot to?
See, so it's tough because normally I would say yes, but at this point, Arsenal doesn't have anything to play for except, I guess, Arsene Wenger's legacy. And that's already tarnished enough that you're just like, what to do with this club? Because they're not making top four. And Europa League was the only thing they had to play for. And with the rotation for Europa League, the big people that were stepping up for Arsenal were their fringe assets like Iwobi.
Yeah, so I know Iwobi is carrying a knock. Same with the status of Mkhitaryan. I mean, I know he played 75 minutes against United, but there's a chance he might not start both matches. I mean, looking at that team, I mean, outside of Aubameyang, that was the guy I had targeted at 10.7. He's selected by 11.6% of sides right now. Who else would you be looking at in OFPL? I mean, does anyone spike your interest?
I mean, we're both running Arsenal midfielders this week. We're just running different ones.
I brought in Aaron Ramsey this week.
And I brought in Granit Xhaka last week, but to prepare for this week.
So, I mean, with the double game week, obviously, Xhaka's the cheaper option at 5.1. And he's coming off back-to-back matches with an assist. So there's that. Is that kind of what was your basis behind him because he was cheaper?
There's that, and there's also just the fact that Aaron Ramsey is always a health risk, so I don't really see him starting both games. Whereas Xhaka's playstyle, because he doesn't move, lends a little bit better to a double game week.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Ramsey's thing, I waited till after the Arsenal match today to make my transfers. If you look at Ramsey's last four starts, he had the hat trick against Everton. I'm not really counting the Manchester City match. He had three against Stoke, and then he had a goal and assist against West Ham. So I'm kind of just hoping that either he plays both matches or he has like a typical pop-up out-of-nowhere game in one of those two.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I also needed to make room to bring Harry Kane back in. So that was one of the bigger things, and staying away from someone like Pogba, we'll talk about a little bit later. On the injury front, Arsenal look like they're going to be out without Koscielny after he suffered a nasty-looking non-contact injury in the first half against Atletico. For Koscielny owners in OFPL, would you consider pivoting to Mustafi or, I guess, saving the funds going elsewhere?
I would never pivot to Mustafi for any reason.
I mean, he didn't play against United, so that has him well-placed to start both matches this week.
Yeah, I mean, there's just the fact that, do we really think Arsenal's going to keep a clean sheet?
I mean, I could see them keeping a clean sheet at home against Burnley, just because Burnley haven't really scored that many goals away this season.
Yeah, but Burnley usually finds a way to score one. They don't score many, but they do score one.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess outside of Aubameyang, that's the only really guy I was recommending from Arsenal, and then Ramsey if you're looking cheaper.
Yeah, I'm only playing Xhaka because of that 5.1 price tag.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Wenger does with this side with them not in Europe anymore, so that is just a little food for thought. The next club we're going to talk about, Chelsea, they are home for both matches this week, so that kind of gives them a boost. They're going to be clashing with Liverpool in what I expect to be a spectacle over the weekend, and then they're home against Huddersfield Town. With them playing both matches at Stamford Bridge, is this a big boost in their value despite having Liverpool in the front end?
I mean, I think just the fact that their second game is against Huddersfield is a huge boost in their value regardless of what happens in that Liverpool match, especially since we still may not see Liverpool's strongest side.
Yeah, looking at the like Chelsea's ownership right now, the guy who's selected by the most clubs is Azpilicueta at 20.8%. He's at 6.9, so he is one of the more expensive defenders. I don't think they're going to keep a clean sheet against Liverpool, but despite that, does that give Azpilicueta, I mean, fine value with him playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has perfectly fine value this week. The double game week boosts the value of Giroux the most, though.
Yeah, because I'm assuming he'll get at least one of those starts. I would be more keen on him than Morata, just because you're going to be saving like $2 million in price with Morata at 10.4.
Yep, and I'm going to be running Willian.
You're going to run Willian, even though he's been like in and out of the lineup lately? I mean, I guess he would get at least one start.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to start one, Pedro's going to start one, Pedro's going to suck in the one that he starts, and then Willian's going to come off the bench.
Looking at, I guess, kind of sleeper value, although he's not by any means a sleeper name, Fabregas is coming off his beautiful goal against Swansea. He played 80 minutes and he had 10 points. At 6.8, are you interested in him for that kind of third tier of midfielders?
Not really, because like his play style won't really work well against Liverpool. And while I do think Chelsea is going to roll in Huddersfield, I don't think it's going to be enough to make him worth it over some other double game week options over those two games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I guess the reason why I kind of was just looking at him was because when you look at all the top sides with double game weeks, at 6.8 for a creative midfielder who can pop up with a goal and will create chances, I just figured that he deserves a shout, considering the fact that I brought in Ramsey.
But that's he's basically a more expensive Granit Xhaka.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that. He's a little bit smarter mentally, and when he decides to go into challenges than Xhaka. Next club we're going to talk about is your favorite club, Leicester City. Yeah, the Foxes come limping in. I'm using the word limping instead of a more colorful expletive.
That Fox has now been turned into a hat and is being paraded around the Premier League.
For all our PETA fans out there, the Foxes come into the double game week following the 5-0 clubbing at Crystal Palace. Kasper Schmeichel and Shinji Okazaki will both be late calls. They'll be without Mark Albrighton through suspension, and he also could potentially get another match ban, having been charged with misconduct for angrily reacting after Mike Dean's red card at Selhurst. I mean, Leicester, this is like a trap double game week for me, because I copped off Mahrez. I'm a little worried it's going to come back and bite me, but are you keeping faith in Vardy? I am. I didn't transfer him out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any faith in this Leicester side. Like, I'm running Chilwell because I have to, not because I want to.
Yeah, I mean, the same goes for me with Maguire, having brought him in ahead of double game week 34. I didn't want to take a -8 to get him out, so I'm kind of stuck with that. I guess the one thing in their favor is they do play at home twice. They're going to be facing West Ham and Arsenal. But I guess, is there anyone you're interested in outside of Vardy? I mean, based on what we said, it seems like there won't be.
No. Because, you can say, Damari Gray might get 2 starts, but, who cares?
I mean, speaking on Chilwell, just because he's been really good in Togo lately, are you confident starting him if you're playing in the playoffs, knowing that the first match will be against West Ham at home?
No. I mean, I'm not confident in anyone on this team, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to back them given their poor form lately. A club that I know we'll both be backing is Manchester City. They have probably the best double game week with home matches against Huddersfield and Brighton. The top guys to talk about here are Sterling and Jesus. Are they essentially must-owns at this point in the season?
Gabriel Jesus, definitely. Sterling's still a slight rotation risk, but at this point, I don't see any reason not to roll him in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Sterling is that even if he doesn't get both games, I mean, the rate he's been returning right now, If you look at his last five matches, he has 6 assists and 3 goals. So I'm confident. I don't have him in my lineup, but I'm confident if that you have him, he'll return enough in one of those matches to make it fine that he didn't play in the other.
I mean, I essentially had to do a coin flip for Gabriel Jesus versus Harry Kane this week.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I'm going to be captaining him this week just because, like, he's going to get the starts because there's no Aguero. And, I mean, those are two excellent fixtures.
Oh, are you really trying to say Llorente is going to get a start?
No. I mean, but what I'm saying is I think that he has a better chance to score in both matches or to do more damage across goals and assists than Kane does, considering they're going to be playing at West Brom, who actually has something to play for.
Fair.
I guess my point being is that I like City at home against Huddersfield over Spurs at West Brom. Now, it's a very thin line, I'll give you that.
I mean, one team is showing a pulse, while one is basically deciding that they're going to go belly up and get relegated.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at, I guess, the other citizens available, given the rotation risk, I mean, is it better to run with two of them, or is there a third that you would consider putting in the conversation?
I would, defensively, I'd either go with Danilo or Laporte.
Yeah, I mean, Laporte's the guy I was looking at. He's at 5.1. In Taga, he's at 54% owned. He's been starting lately, and I mean, he's one of the center backs of the future, so I would assume he gets a run. Now, it could be complicated with John Stones potentially being available, but I don't know if he'll start both matches.
No way.
Given the short time span from coming back. And then there's also what's up with Vincent Kompany, because they're going to want to give him a good sending off, seeing as I don't think he'll be a key piece next season.
Yeah, it's weird with this City defensive rotation, because all four of their center backs could very easily start, but it seems like the first pairing is somewhere between Laporte and Kompany / Otamendi.
Yeah, kind of like when Kompany is fit, he gets that spot. But I mean, it's pretty much Otamendi's for the taking. I guess transitioning a little bit to Taga, we have Laporte at 53%, Mendy at 46, Danilo at 39. Which one of those guys do you like the best for the rest of the season?
Danilo.
Yeah, I mean, with Kyle Walker, he was pictured in training, but I don't think he'll be risk if he is indeed carrying what was reported as a groin strain. However, though, I'm a little bit worried about... Actually, I don't know. It depends. That kind of changes my perspective, because I initially had Danilo pinned on for teams in the playoffs, assuming he would get both starts. Now that Walker's back and there's a chance Walker might play but not get the full 90, I'm a little bit hesitant about using him.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, this threw a nice wrench in all analysis. I think the safest City defender for Taga is probably Laporte.
Yeah, I agree on that. Just because the proofs over the last three matches that he's been in the starting 11. Moving on to the other side of Manchester, United are away for both matches. They're going to be at Brighton and at West Ham. The big news here, obviously, is Romelu Lukaku's injury. Mourinho said he'll most likely be back for the FA Cup final, which means Marcus Rashford is at a premium now. If you own him, obviously you want to start him. But looking at OFPL, if you need a forward who's cheaper, is he... I mean, I guess he's in the conversation considering he's only 7.3 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has to be. The issue is... Again, like, United's offense isn't in a place where I'd necessarily just be like, you know what, let's go ahead and throw him up there.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Pogba's the other guy that comes to mind just because he has 3 goals and an assist in his last 4 matches. He's looked a lot better. He's at 7.9. But then again, I mean... given the flux of United, the guy I feel who might be a little bit of a better bet is Jesse Lingard. He hasn't been getting the full 90 lately, but he's been pretty much always involved in their goals and on the attack. Even if he doesn't get the assist or the goal himself, he's usually within those two or three passes in the build-up. Is he someone to consider at $6
million? I mean, for that price tag, definitely.
He's selected by 10.6% of sides right now. Looking elsewhere at United, the defenders scare me because of potential rotation.
Someone's at the door.
I guess your dog agrees with me about staying away from United defenders. The next club we're going to talk about is Newcastle. They are away for both matches. They're at Watford and at Tottenham. They'll also most likely be without Soleimani, who's suspended after getting handed a ban from the FA. Newcastle's not that appealing because I don't think they're going to do enough in that Watford game to make it outweigh what's going to happen at Spurs. But that being said, you know, are you potentially considering someone like a Kennedy or Yedlin because of their low price?
I mean, I think Kennedy's always useful because the match at Watford really isn't that bad of a match for Newcastle. It's the match at Spurs that we're worried about here. But Newcastle still finds a way to put something in the net.
Yeah, I think actually with Soleimani unavailable, I think that actually is a boost for guys like Perez and Kennedy.
Yeah, especially considering how they played with him actually playing.
Yeah, because those guys play better when they're playing with a higher tempo.
And with Dwight Gale in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy at 4.8, only selected by 41% of teams in Taga. I think he's the guy to look at. Yedlin, I mean, he's someone to consider, but the issue being is, like, unless he gets an assist in that first match and keeps a clean sheet, it's going to be tough to see him posting more than 10 points with that triple Spurs.
Yeah, and, like, basically you're looking for Kennedy to score in that first game because the second one, it's just a hope that the best happens.
Yeah, I think a club who has, you know, who has similar appealing prices and good low ownership across Taga is Southampton. The Saints are at Everton, and then they're home against Swansea City. So, I mean, with them fighting for their lives in 18th, is this a boost for their attacking options?
It's tough because this is one. Southampton is one of the teams that this change in the actual, like, lineups for people. Southampton is probably the club hurt the most by this because their second fixture, when they're actually going to be fighting for everything against Swansea, because it's essentially a must win, is a very good fixture for them, whereas Everton's been good at home.
Yeah, I mean, Austin is only owned in 20% of leagues right now. When I go back and edit my column, I'm essentially going to say he is still a premium second forward for players who, or for owners who are in leagues that are just playing classic table format and don't have to worry about only playing one match. I'm downgrading him a bit against Everton just because, as you said, the Toffees have actually been good at home lately. They got two clean sheets in their last three. I mean, the guy here, though, obviously he's a shout for a perfect 11, and he's the guy to look at for OFPL is Tadic, right?
Yeah, I mean Dusan Tadic is the man. Like,
yeah, he's at 6.2.
Yeah, I brought in Southampton players in fantasy, but that was bringing in both Austin and Cedric.
Yeah, Cedric's another guy to look at. He's got low ownership. He's only at 40% in Taga. He has a similar appeal in OFPL. He's only at 4.7. So while I don't think they're going to keep clean sheets, given his, you know, offensive prowess, I think he's one of the better budget defenders. And then, I mean, sticking with the defense, you also have to look at Alex McCarthy at 4.4.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. That it was tough because I had to forgo taking too many hits this week in OFPL. But he would be a much better option than my current number one in Matt Ryan.
Yeah, speaking about another budget keeper, we're going to talk about Swansea City now. They're at Bournemouth and they're home, as we said, against Southampton. Obviously, Fabianski has been the most appealing budget keeper at 4.7. There's also Kyle Naughton, who's worth a shot at 4.6. Given what's at stake for Carlos Carvajal's side and the fact that they're going to be going for it in both matches, is there any other value to be found there? I mean, Tom Carroll comes to mind for me, especially in draft leagues.
Outside of Jordan Ayew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying Klukas. Key hasn't played
really
lately.
Like, as per usual, the best option is Fabianski, and outside of him, it's just like, well, there's people.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to take a hit and you need a downgrade to a double game week defender to bring in a premium attacker, I guess Naughton is worth a shout just because he plays fullback and he gets forward.
Yeah, that's fair. That's like he's a better shot than Chilwell right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Foxes are pretty much a barren wasteland outside of Vardy right now, which is interesting because I don't know what the hell is going to go on with them next season. Just with them, I don't know if Puyol's going to keep the job, or I can't even
hope
speak
he doesn't.
Right now about that. The next club we're going to talk about is Chuck's Tottenham. They are at West Brom and they are home against Newcastle. I mean, they have solid fixtures on paper, and then obviously there's the Harry Kane factor. Looking at the Golden Boot race,
yeah, he's looking for that Golden Boot. He's my captain, and he will score multiple goals.
Yeah. I took the -4 to bring him in this week. I had done my transfers the previous week to make sure I had enough funds, and I don't really see an argument against not owning him.
Like Coke or something. Is it the first?
I mean, unless you were looking to bring in Jesus and you can't afford to get both of them, I mean, I really think Kane is a must-own.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kane has already shown, with his finish to last year, 5 goals against Leicester. You kind of want to have him at the end of the season when the Golden Boot's on the line.
Switching focus a little bit, just because the majority of that side is cut and dry in OFPL. In terms of streaming options for Taga, you got Dembele at 49%, Eric Dier 35%, Lucas 34%, Wanyama at 25%. Do any of those guys jump off the page for you?
See, this is where, again, it's tough that playoff teams can't play the double game week. Because Eric Dier, great double game week option. Not a very good standard option. Same with Dembele. Lucas Moura, you're just, if he's in the lineup for that first game, I'd play him. But I don't want to start him in that first game, have him come off the bench, and then miss out on him starting the second.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there. I looked at Dembele, and if you're in a table league and you need to gain some ground, obviously he's someone to look at, because him as well as Dier, if they both play, should be able to put up 10 to 12 points over both matches. Yeah, and then, you know, like you said about Moura, it's difficult with the fixture change, and that's kind of hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, although he only has, I believe, 6 and 8 points over his last 2 starts, so I am a little bit skeptical on it.
Yeah.
Moving on to the last club we're going to talk about from the double game week fixtures is West Ham.
Do we really need to talk about them?
Leicester City, and they are home against Manchester United. I mean, it's the Arnie show. I just wanted to pretty much get your thoughts on him at 7 million.
I mean, considering Andy Carroll is officially out of the squad.
That is, I'm glad you brought that up, because essentially, for those of you who aren't aware, he was not included in the late triple substitution against Man City, and he left the dugout without permission. Moyes, after the match, said he was going to speak with Carroll in training. They did speak. However, it resulted in Carroll being sent home from training. So not only does that put the fact that he could have been a useful piece if he was going to get thirsty at the end of the season, that puts his future at the club in, like, absolute tremendous doubt, even if Moyes isn't there next season, because he's entering the last year of his contract, and they need to get him off the books.
Yeah, I mean, basically, at this point, and hopefully Andy Carroll gets a move. In reality, he should have left West Ham a long time ago. Be interesting to see, like, what a front two of him and Christian Benteke could do.
Yeah, I mean, there's clubs where, I mean, now I'm thinking about, I could honestly probably write a decent article with saying the hypothetical best-case scenarios of, like, three clubs that Carroll would be fine at in the Premier League, whether that's as a number two striker or starting up front in a duo. But so we don't get too sidetracked, I guess we'll finish the double game week chat by pretty much saying there's no value in West Ham, they suck, and Brighton and Huddersfield have two of the worst double game week run-ins I've ever seen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, which is unfortunate with the Terriers fighting for survival.
There's a reason why Huddersfield could very easily end the season without picking up another point.
Yeah, and to teeter off that note, because I adopted them as my second club in the season, we're going to talk about the value of players in matches that do not have a double game week. The first one is Stoke versus Crystal Palace. In OFPL, how are we handling Zaha and Milivojevic?
We're still playing them. They have pretty good options, but I'm probably not going to add more in OFPL for that Stoke game.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, I have Milo and I have Zaha, and I'm going to start both of them with benching Goodmunson, who's at Arsenal. I don't see a reason to pivot off of them because I don't have a chip and I don't want to blow up my squad too much. In Toga, I know we talked about him last time, but I just think we just have to make another announcement. James Tompkins, who's available in 50% of leagues, is averaging 19.92 points over the last three matches.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown that he's him and not Mamadou Sakho is actually the anchor of the Palace back line. And considering what they've done under Hodgson, again, if he is not owned in your Toga League, you better get him now, especially since his value just went up if you're in playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And then talking about one of the other matches with some fringe guys, you have Everton playing Swansea for their lone match of the game week. I'm keeping Baines in OFPL, but if you're a Tosin owner, would you be shedding
him? Well, I shedded him too early because I got rid of him and then he scored last week. It's ridiculous because Cenk Tosin is a great forward, but he gets no service at Everton, yet he's still been useful enough to actually put goals in the net.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, two of the guys I think deserve a shout for streaming in Toga, especially with the whole playoff situation now, is Idrissa Gueye at 40% and Jagielka at 30%. If you look at Gueye, obviously had the goal last week. He's been averaging 12 over the last three, and Jagielka has also been averaging 12 over the last three.
Yeah, I mean, I more go with Jags, and also in that note, Michael Keane as well.
Mm-hmm. I know he's the guy that would be the one to go to, but I think he's up around 65%. So he's been crushing it lately, but he might be a little bit elusive for managers in need of it.
Keane's basically been crushing it since Jags has come back into the lineup because Ashley Williams, not very good.
Yeah, he's run his course at Goodison. The last thing we're going to talk about, save this for last because I guess we have a little bit of a debate. What do we do with Mohamed Salah?
I have him on my bench, but I'm also using a bench boost just in case he does something. So
when you said that before the show, that was going to be my big point. I'm sticking with him. I don't care that they're playing at Chelsea. There should be goals in that match. And then they have game week 38 at home against Brighton with what I think will be a race to the Golden Boot with Kane. So I don't think it's smart to shed him. And yeah, bench boost if you're not going to start him, but he'll be starting in my 11 because I'm just I'm having FOMO already thinking about not starting him.
Oh, I'm sure you're not the only one in that boat.
Before we close up this week's episode, we're going to get to some questions. The first one is from FPL Hazardous on Twitter, pertaining to the Tauga playoffs situation. His question is pretty simple. Is the best strategy to focus on the first round matchups unless your superstar is facing potentially being rested and most likely assured of a start in the second match?
Most definitely, because getting the points up front is much better than waiting for them.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, as we said, like a Sterling and a Sané are both two guys in that conversation. And I think they would do enough to do that. Sorry about jumping around with the audio a little. There is a fly attacking me in my recording setup. Moving back to the questions, Toddy Andor on Twitter. Any love for Chelsea defenders, specifically Zappacosta and then Christensen-Rudiger debate?
Zappacosta still exists?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's pretty much Emerson to come in, and I assume he'll start that first match with Alonso suspended. The Christensen-Rudiger one is a little bit more intriguing just because Rudiger started lately, I don't know what's up with Christensen.
The issue with Christensen is even in Tauga leagues when he started, he wasn't useful anyway because he doesn't do enough peripherally. Rudiger does.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Christensen on the season, he's averaging 5.6 points per match, and Rudiger's doing 7. So I would lean towards the latter. In those two, and it sounds like you agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not even worrying with Christensen.
And then the last question comes from Satish on Twitter. Thoughts on Rashford starting both matches in the double game week?
Does United have anyone else that would take his place? Because Martial's not playing point forward.
Yeah, I mean, I am always hesitant to make predictions with what Mourinho is going to do. But I think it's pretty cut and dry that Rashford will start both matches.
I mean, there's essentially only two options. It's start Rashford up top or start Sanchez up top. And considering that they have an FA Cup final that's much more important than these games, starting Rashford up top seems like it would be the logical idea.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see Rashford only getting the full 90 in one of those matches, with Fellaini probably coming on for him.
Oh God, no!
In one of those matches, I mean, it worked against Arsenal.
Yeah, it's Arsenal.
And Mourinho loves Fellaini. He loves himself some Fellaini.
That he does.
But with that said, that's gonna do it for us this week. Remember, you can find me, Sean Sullivan, on Twitter at Sean_Sullivan_1. Chuck, where can our folks find you?
And you can also find me on Twitter at Chuck Booth Sport. That is Chuck Booth Sport, not Chuck Booth Sports.
Yeah, and remember, I will be doing a quick update to my Roto-World Tauga column tonight. Thank you for listening to FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth. And remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL_360. And you can also find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
May your arrows be green.